Hi, and welcome to another episode of Divorce and Everything in Between. My name is Carla DaCosta. I am the author of Seconds Please, Lessons on Life, Love and Self After Divorce. I'm an author on divorce here in Australia and a coach for women that are divorced or divorcing. And I've been in this space for the last 4 to 5 years, coaching women, supporting them to leave their marriages if they're desiring to, and to move on, find their feet, find themselves, and recreate their lives in this next season of their life. Successful marriages without fulfillment, and I'm putting commas around the word successful. This is what I'm talking about today in this podcast because I am seeing it over and over again in my clientele. So today I'm going to be talking about the characteristics of this marriage. Why is this occurring? What you are really setting yourself up for if you stay in this kind of marriage, what you are really setting your children up for if you stay in this marriage, what to do if you're staying in this marriage out of loyalty to the other person, what to do if you're staying in this marriage out of fear, and the one question to use to break the ice and have the necessary conversation that you need to have with your partner to be able to uncover and start the process of uncovering of whether or not this marriage is right for you for the rest of your life or not. Successful marriages without fulfillment. The characteristics that I see are predominantly that the reason why the couple is still together, all the reasons the couple are staying together for, are external to them. Their history is keeping them together. The family unit that they've created is keeping them together. The integrated social and familial network is keeping them together. And sometimes this couple is often an integral, important, valued, often looked up to family in this extended familial and social network. The financials and the financial system and layout and blueprint around this couple are keeping them together. The lifestyle, the holidays are keeping them together. Living vicariously through their children and for their children is keeping them together. And there is a line that I hear over and over again from men and women that come to me in this situation. I feel like I am throwing everything away that we've built up together if I was to leave. That is the characteristic of somebody that is in a successful, marriage without fulfillment. And it's something that is a phenomenon that Tony Robbins talks about, the modern day failure, to have success outwardly without fulfillment. Actually, there's nothing more painful, nothing that creates more inner turmoil than a world that looks a certain way to others, to yourself, when it feels so different or lacking or not enough or not fulfilling, doesn't truly tick the boxes on the inside. That is a discord that we are seeing in modern life over and over again. So why is this occurring? I mean, certainly the stigma around divorce is starting to lessen. It still exists 100%, but obviously it's happening more and more now because it can. In previous generations, we can say that women didn't leave because they didn't have the financial independence to do so, 100%. But what we can also say is that men also couldn't leave because they had such a strong loyalty to their dependents, and their wife was also a dependent. So if they were going to put their needs first, then they were also going to be causing their partner, who they maybe still loved but just didn't love in the same way, they were forcing them into hardship and poverty. So many men in previous generations distracted them with work, distracted themselves with sport, with their friends as a way of dealing with the lack of fulfillment that they were getting from their marriage. So it's not just a female problem in past generations. It was also a male problem. Both sexes were unfulfilled. Neither sex felt like they could leave without causing complete upheaval to the other person's lives. And we certainly see it now, this modern day paradigm and shift in our consciousness, in what we prioritize, is that happiness is part of the psyche, and a desire for happiness is part of the psyche for all of us now. And in previous generations, it was not talked about and prioritized as much. It was much more about survival and striving for financial success, safety, security, getting ahead. And those things are still very much important to us, but we are seeing a rebalancing of that with also the introduction of fulfillment and happiness and following your dreams also added to the conversation. And certainly all of us here as parents would resonate that we are desiring that for children. Yes, be successful, but also do what makes you happy. It has to feel good. Don't just do it because it's going to make you money. Because all of us have learned the hard lesson that we can chase success, we can get a great job, but doesn't actually make us happy, and actually nothing makes an individual more miserable than to have all that success or even a great job title if you actually hate going there every single day. You know, we've all been there. My previous profession is in dentistry, and look what I'm doing today, but I am happier than ever. So what are we really setting ourselves up for if we stay in this dynamic? We must understand that every relationship is made up of two personalities bringing different characteristics into the relationship, individual to themselves, to combine as a whole. So unless we have a change in both individuals, in how they show up, in how they interact with one another, in what they prioritize, in the different characteristics, qualities and affections, intimacies, emotional depth that they are bringing to the relationship. Unless both individuals change remarkably, then actually you're never going to get a true shift in the dynamic of a couple. It takes two individuals to create a successful relationship, and it takes two individuals to create an unsuccessful marriage. It's never just one person's fault. So if you're going to stay in a successful marriage that's currently lacking fulfillment with the hope that it's going to change, please understand that it's going to take deep change from both of you to truly change, not just in the short term, but in the long term. And what are we really setting ourselves up for in regards to our children? What are we setting our children up for if we stay in this dynamic? The keeping together of the family unit, the destruction of the family unit, is something that we're hearing a lot talked about. And I want to offer a different conversation here, because one characteristic that I didn't mention at the start that I should have done is that often a successful marriage that's lacking fulfillment, if not one, but both adults in the marriage have come from a broken, divorced home as a child themselves. And so the desire is, I don't want to divorce and do that to my children. This marriage that I'm currently in is of a better improvement than the one that I experienced as a child. And I want to call you out on that bullshit narrative, because you've only ended up in a marriage with this tone and temperament and dynamic because you came from a divorced family. It set the emotional tone within you as a child, which determined your psyche, which led to you choosing the partner that you have. And prioritizing the characteristics in your partner, believing that that's what love was and that that was what was going to set you up for success. Now, if we can acknowledge this, then we must also acknowledge this, that the emotional tone and dynamic that your current partner and yourself are setting within your home and modeling to your children is what your children are going to recreate in their own adult lives without realizing what they're really recreating. I always say to my clients here, there's no right or wrong. If you would like to stay together because you want to keep the family unit together, then at least verbalize it to your children. Your dad and I, we love one another, but we're not really in love with one another. We kind of are living separate lives, but we're going to stay together for you kids. We want to keep everything together to keep the family unit together, but we don't really have a strong connection anymore. We're more like friends. At least be honest with your kids so that your kids don't look at you and think, I want what mum and dad have, not realizing that they don't know what mum and dad really have, which is potentially a lack of sexual intimacy in the bedroom, a lack of emotional connection, no interests in or no shared interests together, living separate lives, can't stand one another. I mean, choose your poison here. If you're going to stay together for your children and your children are of an age where they can understand why you're still together, then at least do them the courtesy of verbalizing to them. Don't go and choose a kind of marriage like your dad and I have. I'm staying with your dad because I think I'm too old to stay to find somebody else. Or I'm staying with your mum because I don't want to lose half of everything that I've built up. At least be honest so that they can consciously choose a partner with a different dynamic rather than unconsciously choose a relationship of the same type and tone of the one that you've modeled to them. Really important as parents to own this. The way we shape what love looks like by the way we behave with our partner and the way in which our children go on to recreate this in their own adult life, believing that it's success if we've modeled to them that this is what success is. So what to do if you're finding yourself in this marriage and you're staying out of loyalty to the other person? So if this is you, I mean, you probably have a belief that your partner doesn't deserve this. They've given me the best years of their life. I'm being ungrateful for wanting to leave and for not appreciating what I've got here. I'm asking and expecting too much from love and a relationship. After all these years of marriage, of course it's normal to feel this way. You might be thinking they're a good person, a good husband, wife, mum, dad. I couldn't ask for anything more than what I have. He's a good guy. She's a great woman. And you might also be thinking we have built up a good lifestyle together and I don't want to lose that. There is no right or wrong decision here to stay with somebody out of loyalty or not. It's just one that is unique to the individual. The question to ask yourself here is this dynamic, when we accept that it's more than likely not going to change, going to be enough for you for the rest of your life? Will it honestly be enough? Will you be able to live the next 40, 30, 50 years, however many years you perceive yourself left to live in this same arrangement without feeling like I'm at risk of having an affair, meeting somebody else, constantly battling with an inner turmoil that won't go away. Is that something you're honestly willing to accept for the rest of your life? This is a bit of the warm bath scenario, where sometimes what we're in isn't so hot that we have to get out, or isn't so cold that we can't be in it. Most adult marriages are like a warm bath. If you got into it now as a warm bath, as a newbie, new to one another, you'd get out straight away. You'd say, this isn't what I want. But because you've been in it for so long and the temperature has dropped slowly, 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 slowly over time, you've kind of normalized what you're settling for. It's not so bad. You wouldn't accept it as a new relationship now, the behavior, the qualities, the tone that exists within it. But because over time it's dropped to this, it's now, well, you know, I can top it up with hot water, but it's not really quite the same. How long can I stick it out for? Loyalty is not love. Loyalty is a different kind of love. And so there's no right or wrong answer here. It's simply recognizing that right now you're in a kind of a warm bath. And can you sit in this warm bath for the remainder of your years, accepting that the dynamic and how you feel more than likely won't change, because the two of you together bring out qualities, characteristics, behaviors, triggers that are probably going to remain for the rest of your relationship because of past circumstances, past behaviors, future old versions of ourselves that didn't know better and brought certain kinds of behaviors in that you wouldn't do now if you were to enter a new relationship. All of these things contribute to the current dynamic that you have with your partner that is more than likely not going to change unless both of you do some deep inner work. In these sorts of circumstances, the truth will always set you free. But many marriages can't handle the truth, because if the full truth, which is what is required to actually change and improve the foundation of a marriage, the full truth would often end a marriage. The full truth of how somebody really feels, the full truth of what they've really been up to without the other partner realizing, would often end a marriage. And so then this is where we have this problem of a successful marriage without fulfillment. Everything around them looks fantastic, idealistic. People may envy them as a family. You might be the favorite family. I hear that a lot, actually. But actually, on the underbelly of it, it's not what it really is at all. So what to do if you're staying in this marriage out of fear? You might be thinking, I am too old to start again. I'm just going to end up alone if I leave anyway, so better the devil that I know, because at least they won't leave me. You might be thinking, I can't afford to leave financially. I'm going to financially struggle. My lifestyle is going to change dramatically. It's not going to be worth it. And you might also be thinking, I don't want to lose the lifestyle that we've worked so hard to build together. I'm finally enjoying this lifestyle that we've worked so hard to get to. And now I'm going to throw it all away. Know that when fear and doubt enters your decision-making process, understand that you are going to create and end up living a half-lived life. Every major adult decision comes with varying doses of fear and self-doubt. Every major adult decision we make requires us to step into our courage, our confidence, to speak our truth to ourselves and out loud to others, and to own it. and to look at our life from the breadth of time we have left to live, not only from the point of now, of today, of how the next 6 months might look if I was to speak my truth and own it. Trusting the process of our life is equal parts allowing current dynamics to change and to fall out around us. It's wearing the temporary noise, emphasis on temporary, that comes with change and acceptance of change from others around us and also within ourselves when we speak our truth. And it's moving forward always still with truth and authenticity and holding that energy until the dust settles for everyone around us. Everybody has fear and doubt. But there's what you're going to settle for in life, and then there's what you're not. I often reflect back to my 34-year-old self that had a moment of courage after I had worked with my own coach to really get clear on my feelings back then. This was in 2015, to come home and express fully exactly how I felt, and that I didn't think I wanted to be in this anymore, and that I didn't think it was going to last, and that I couldn't see it improving or how I felt changing. And I reflect back on that and I think to myself, I am so proud of that moment of courage that myself took at that age. I think there are times in life when we have these moments of courage that just come out of nowhere. And I think, gosh, you know, if I hadn't have taken that moment, I wonder if I would have had that moment of courage again, you know, or would that moment of courage have just quietly just slipped back into my psyche, never to come up again? And actually, I think it would have come up again. The question is, how bad would I have let things get before courage felt like the easier pathway than continuing to settle and ignore what I was really feeling and what some of the dynamics were that were going on in my marriage? And so here I want to ask you to step into the courage of not even just leaving, but of having an honest, authentic conversation about how you really do feel, what you really are concerned about for the rest of your life, with yourself, but with also your partner who deserves it. And so what is the one question that I want you to use as an icebreaker with your partner? And perhaps it's more of a statement. And it's just simply when you have a moment, just the two of you, to say, I love the life that we have built up together. I'm so proud of us. And you mean so much to me. But I just don't feel for you in the way that I should a partner. I have a deep connection with you, but in many ways, I feel like we are more friends. And both of us deserve to be loved and appreciated as an intimate partner. And I don't know if I can be married to somebody that I see more like a friend for the rest of my life. And then you shut up and then you let them talk. Because in their response, you're going to hear their fears, their beliefs, their projections, their desire to save face, what they're trying to hold on to, what they prioritize. And it's going to help you have maybe a hard conversation, but at least an honest conversation that you can sit back and reflect on. If you liked their answer, if their answer made you feel better, if it's just added more worry to the inner turmoil that you're already feeling because they have consolidated what you were worried about, that they are more interested in holding on to this connection for children out of fear, to keep the lifestyle together, more than they are for actual deep appreciation, emotional intimacy, love, connection with you. It is another level of fulfillment to have a partner in your life that deeply appreciates you, loves having conversation with you, loves spending time with you, who you have things in common with, who you enjoy the joys of life with, big and small, who you can lay in bed with and talk rubbish with, where you're having sex with somebody and they're actually really into you, they haven't had several glasses of wine to kind of make it easier, also that they're interested. They actually want to meet your needs intimately, sexually, they're interested, they want to please you. It just adds a different level of fulfillment. And I will honestly express to you that in my friendship group now, I really struggle to have friends who are married and settling, because it really pains me to hear the bullshit that comes out of their mouth to justify what they're putting up with in their personal life and why they're staying. Because it's a story they're telling themselves and it's not true. Because any divorced person would tell you, I wish I'd left sooner. I don't know how I lasted so long in that marriage now that I've left it. And they would also tell you, I'm so much happier being on myself by myself than I ever was trying to make that work. And I didn't realize how much energy that was taking away from me. Sometimes even how sick it was making me feel. I hope this has given you something to think about. Certainly, if you are in this situation, know this. You are not unique. You are the majority. The majority of married couples are this. And this is not me being down on marriage at all. I think marriage is a fabulous institution, but I'm not sure that we're great humans to choose a forever human for ourselves in our 20s and 30s when we barely know ourselves, expecting that that one person is going to be able to meet our needs for the rest of our life. I'm 40 now. Now I'm really who I'm meant to be. You know, I really am living as my fully expressed self. Now I am a fabulous person to choose a lifelong partner for myself. 20-year-old Carla was not that girl. 20-year-old Carla was choosing her husband and partner for very different reasons than who I'm looking for today, for very different reasons. And I used to envy long-term marriages and think, gosh, you know, they're so lucky to still be married to the same person. But actually, I look at people in long-term marriages now, particularly 95% of them, and I feel bad for them because they don't realize the warm bath that they're in and the loss of potential that isn't going to be unrealized for themselves and everything that they could have been if they'd just chosen differently again a second time round. And actually the gift in what they might have modeled differently and better to their children if they had done that. If this podcast has resonated with you, definitely my newly divorced program is for you, whether you have left your marriage or not. Courage, confidence, understanding what love is, actually being intimate and emotionally connected with yourself first is so important to help you clarify, is this marriage for me or not? And if you realize it's not, then to ask for it to end. Actually, probably half the women that come to the Newly Divorced program are still married and are still in the space of deciding whether to leave or whether to stay. But what they do recognize is that they have some work to do on themselves before they feel confident and empowered enough to make that decision, express it out loud and own it. So if you are in that space, the Newly Divorced program, it is a private program. Nobody will know that you are in there other than the women that are in there. And you can be in that space and work through the step-by-step program at your own timeline and reach out to me when you reach a point of knowing what to do or not. Otherwise, I would point you towards my first book. My first book is called Seconds, Please, and it will help you understand that warm bath mentality and how to start recognizing if you're in it and the voids within yourself that the Newly Divorced program will help you heal. Much love to you.